sent verse 8. Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasini yoja tishtan vrajeta danuragi jananugami kalam nayeda kilamityupadesa saram. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraja, Goloka Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Akandamandalakaram Vyaptayena Chara Charam Tat Padam Darshitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raghunatha Shri Jivago Palabhata Dasa Raghunatha Ichair Guru Karan Charana Vandam Jahoite Vignana Shabhishta Puran Yasya Prasadada Gyopi Sadhya Sarvagyatam Rajait Sa Shri Chaitanya Devami Bhagavan Samprasidato Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What is the essence of all advice? Yes, 24 hours being engaged in Krishna consciousness. And two faculties are mentioned. Two things that need to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. The mind and the tongue, yes. So both are the instruments for tasting. We taste with the tongue and we taste with the mind. So this is important. When we can, of course, also in Krishna consciousness, everything is employed in tasting. The ears can taste. Yesterday was such a nice kirtan, and when you hear some, like Uddhava Prabhu is singing in kirtan, you can taste with the ears, you know? Isn't it? And at the same time, we can taste with our tongue when we chant or sing the sweet names of Krishna. Sometimes it may even happen that even our japa can be very tasty, and we, with great taste, repeat Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. But at the same time, Rupa Goswami mentions both things, because we can engage sometimes just one part, only the tongue, and we can chant, whereas the mind is somewhere else and we feel no taste. So this is in fact a secret how to achieve taste. It is to engage both the external senses and the internal senses, both the tongue and the mind. So the tongue chants Hare Krishna, and the mind thinks about Krishna. Ideally, at the perfection stage, we chant Hare Krishna and we think Hare Krishna. We chant Krishna Krishna and we think Krishna Krishna at the same time. Yeah, that's ideal. At the same time, it may take some time before we reach that stage, and it may be that sometimes we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and in the mind we think that Krishna is beautiful, or Krishna is my savior, Krishna is the freedom from material world, or Krishna is the lover of the gopis. We think something connected with Krishna, which is not yet the perfection of chanting, but it at least occupies our mind in the direction of Krishna. You have the whole book by Mahanidhi Swami, The Art of Chanting, where he gives a lot of these techniques to help us at least occupy the mind in Krishna and not in our shopping list, in our to-do list, in our schedule, and other things that, you know, that we are engaged oftentimes in our mind. So when we think about Krishna, there is a chance that we may hear sometimes what we are chanting. So, three things are mentioned about this practice. So, one thing is anusmrityo, remembering, and remembering the name, the form, the pastimes, and so on. So, this is, and we engage the tongue and the mind. And the second thing is tishtan vraje. It's in Vraja, in Vrindavan. So Krishna can be worshipped only in Vrindavan. So this is the mystic part of our practice, that we enter the sacred space of Vrindavan to worship Krishna. And we recreate this sacred space in our heart, and Krishna is worshipped only in Vrindavan. You have to enter Vrindavan to worship Krishna. Some mystics, they try to worship the Lord in the heart. They worship the Lord in everywhere. They worship the Lord in Vaikuntha. But Vaishnavas, practicing meditation, establish, they try to enter Vrindavan with the body, if not with the mind. And we have to go both with the body. And if we are going to Vrindavan with the body, we should also take the mind there. Because like once one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, is it true that Goloka Vrindavan and Gokula Vrindavan are non-different? So Prabhupada said, that is true, but your mind is in New York. It's neither in Goloka Vrindavan nor in Gokula Vrindavan. It's in New York. When the peacocks are crying, so different people hear different things in Vrindavan. I remember when I first came to Vrindavan in 1999, and I was sleeping, and in the middle of the night I wake up and I hear Vego, Kego, Kego, Vego, Vego, and I couldn't understand, what is this? Is this a recording? Is it a tape? Or is it the real peacock in real Vrindavan? And then I realized, wow, it's in Vrindavan and this is a peacock. Of course, nowadays in that place you don't find peacocks anymore because everything is covered with cement and buildings around. But still, where I live, you still have peacocks. He comes every evening. When he is hungry, he takes bread from me, and he lives on the big tree above my room. And in the morning, he offloads, his yesterday's meal down there. they are nice. And in the evening, in the morning, they cry. So different people hear different things, you know. An educated Indian will hear Megal, 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 meaning cloud come, because when it's hot, you want to see the clouds. Today it was 41 in Vrindavan. And it's getting hot. And so that's the normal thing. Then a devotee, he will hear, Kego, Kego, Kego. Who is the most beautiful and who is the most attractive in Vrindavan? And the answer is implied that Radharani is the most, Krishna is the most beautiful, but Radharani attracts even Krishna. He attracts him. So that's Kega. Kega, Kega. But at the same time, you have a class of people there who, when the peacocks cry, they will hear, New York! New York! New York! It's like So it's not enough to get our body to bring down, even though it's quite good. We have to get also our mind to bring down. And bring down is very special. But when we are outside of Vrindavan, we can bring our mind to Vrindavan, we can think about Vrindavan, and when we worship, we have to somehow recreate Vrindavan in our heart. And part of Vrindavan is what we described here. This is the Vrindavan vision. When we see this spiritual servant in everybody, when we see every devotee as a devotee, you know, this is part of Vrindavan vision. When we don't look at the at the defects, but we look at what is devotional in everybody, and that's a very inspiring vision. When we are in such a place, then we blossom. We blossom, and devotional service blossoms. It flourishes. This is part of Vrindavan vision. So we create Vrindavan throughout the day, also by how we see and interact with others. And other part is we actually, you can see in most meditations, for most mantras, there is a meditation on place. And for our practice, Govindaji is the deity, and the meditation is Shrimad Divyad Vrindarana Kalpadrumas Drumadhas Shrimad Vrindavana. How does it go? How does it start? Shimon Rasa Rasarami? No. Divyad Shimad Radha Govinda Deo Prashtalibir Sevyamana Smarani. That I'm meditating on Govindaji, who is sitting under the wish fulfilling tree with Radharani. Divyad Vrindarana Kalpadrumada Srimad Radhanagara Simhasanasto, on a jewel simhasana, on a jewel throne. Srimad Radha Shila Govinda Deva Preshtalibhya Savyamana Smarami, in the surrounded by the beautiful gopis. So we create the place in our mind. We try to enter the place in our mind. It can be a very sophisticated meditation. And then Tad Anuragi Jananagami, the third resident, component is following in the footsteps of a resident of Vrindavan. So in these, we engage our mind all the time. So we engage ourselves in external service, we engage our body in service, and then we engage our mind in service, and we think about Vrindavan, we live in Vrindavan, we try to live in Vrindavan, and we follow a beloved devotee of Krishna, some devotee who is very dear to Krishna. Radharaman Goswami, the first commentator on Shri Upadeshamrita, says that this can be practiced in two ways, in Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. And frankly, this begins the practice of Raganuga. So this verse starts describing the Raganuga Bhakti, where we, this part about following a beloved devotee of Krishna, it means following some specific devotee. It's following some specific devotee. And this is a very special practice. You can see Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhaktisiddhantaji here. Chaitanya Charitamrita advises those who are neophytes to give up all kinds of motivated desires and simply engage in the regulative devotional service. That's Vaidhi Bhakti. That's the rules of the Lord according to the directions of Scripture. In this way, a neophyte can gradually develop attachment for Krishna's name, fame, qualities, and so forth. This is at the end. So attachment, as asakti, at asakti, because of the very strong attachment, a person can more or less clearly understand what is his eternal rasa, what is his, who does he follow eternally. But at any rate, it's rather dangerous to begin this before anartha nivritti is completed, before nishtha is completed. This is a large topic which also oftentimes is exploited on the boundaries of ISKCON. We will discuss it. So let's finish what Bhaktisiddhantaji is saying. So one develops attachment. When one has developed such attachment, he can spontaneously serve the lotus feet of Krishna even without following the regulative principles. that means that he is not governed by regulative principles. And regulative principles are not what impels him, what pushes him, inspires him. This stage is called Raga Bhakti, or devotional service in spontaneous love. At that stage, the devotee can follow in the footsteps of one of the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. This is the key word, one of the eternal associates. It means a specific. And let's hear next. This is called Raga Nuga. So, a devotee of Vrindavan, we will hear which in a moment, is Ragatmika. And by meditating and following, we are becoming Raga Nuga, Raga Anuga. We are following this Raga Bhakta, Ragatmika Bhakta. Raga Nuga Bhakti, or spontaneous devotional service, can be executed in the Shantarasa when one aspires to be like Krishna's cows. So you can select a cow in Vrindavan. Dhavali, Shyama, Mridangamukhi, one who has a head like Mridanga or something. And then you think, oh, she's Krishna scratches her, you know, with her neck. And then she moves and she waits for Krishna to call her name on the japa. Krishna has a japa, you know, and he, in the evening, he counts the he chants the names of the cows, and then they come. And sometimes one of them stays back because she thinks, "Does Krishna remember me?" So then Krishna, you know, comes to her name, and you know, "Shvetamukhi, Shvetamukhi," and then she says, "Oh!" And she comes running. Krishna remembered me. So a cow. Or the stick, Krishna has several sticks, or flute, a flute in the hand of Krishna, or the flowers around the garland around Krishna's neck. So this is from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Sometimes some devotees claim there is no Shantarasa in Vrindavan, that it's Shantarasa is excluded, but you can see that even though in Vrindavan everybody has some madhurya, it's madhurya dham, still Bhaktisiddhanta ji speaks about quite specific Shantarasa devotees, and he mentions Shantarasa here. But some devotees say that, okay, cow has the vatsalya mood, she thinks she's the mother of Krishna, and things like this. The trees, they are like servants, and somebody else is like... Yeah, they offer the fruits, the flute, I don't know. Gopis blame the flute, that the flute is the lover of Krishna. In the Dasya Rasa, one follows in the footsteps of servants like Chitraka, Patraka, or Raktaka. So they are, you know, bringing water to bathe Krishna, and then after he is bathed, they bring... brazier, how do you call it? It's such a, you know, tray with the coal burning, and with aguru and other incense, frankincense, they put on the coal, and it creates very fragrant, very fragrant smoke, and they keep it under Krishna's hair. So one servant stands in the back with this tray, and another is drying Krishna's hair over this, and then the hair gets a very nice smell from that they are serving like this. In the friendly Sakyarasa, one can become a friend like Baladev, Shridam, or Sudam. So one meditates Shridam, Sudam, Subal, these cowherd boys. In the Vatsalya Rasa, characterized by parental affection, one can become like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So one meditates how Yashoda serves Krishna, how she sings about Krishna, how she looks, how she cares about Krishna. So this is the meditation. And in the Madhurya Rasa, characterized by conjugal love, one can become like Shrimati Radharani and her lady friends, such as Lalita, and her serving maids, Manjaris, like Rupa and Rati. This is the essence of all instruction in the matter of devotional service. So this is the Raga Nuga Bhakti. This is the most secret practice. When we have a connection with a specific hero, and we meditate on a specific rasa or a specific role in Krishna Lila.
So that this is Raghunuga Bhakti. It doesn't mean just spontaneously being attracted to devotional series. It means also knowing what rasa, in what relationship you are with Krishna. So this is Raghunuga Bhakti. And certainly it was misunderstood and misapplied in our tradition, in many places, and around our tradition, there is a misapplication of that. Do you want to hear about it? Sometimes you have these devotees are coming to you and they are saying, "Oh, are you practicing Radha Bhakti? That's what Mahaprabhu has brought. That's why he came. You know, he said he's not satisfied with Vaidhi Bhakti. It's a Chaitanya Charitamrita. That only Raga Marg can please him. Are you practicing Raga Marg?" And then you think, oh my God, am I practicing? Then they say, you must practice Raga Marg, otherwise you will go to Vaikuntha. They try to scare you. You'll go to Vaikuntha. And you think, oh, Vaikuntha, no, only not to Vaikuntha. And then they say, our Guru Maharaj is giving lectures now, and he can explain. He explains the Gopi Bhav very nicely, and this is the highest rasa, and this is the highest relationship with Krishna, and you can learn about, hear about it. But if you actually know what's Raghunuga Bhakti, then such kind of a presentation is very funny, because what is Raghunuga Bhakti? Raghunuga Bhakti is a spontaneous attraction. In the definition, it says, it's the attraction which is free, which is not based on fear, which is not impelled by Shastra. It's not just because Shastra says, which is not impelled by logic. So not by logic, not by Shastra, not by fear. And how do these people often preach to you? They try to scare you that you will go to Vaikuntha. They explain to you with logic why you must practice Raga Marg. And then they give you Shastri quotes, why you must practice Raghunuga Bhakti. So if you know something about Raghunuga Bhakti, it's very funny how they try to... basically, it's just a marketing technique. They try to get people for themselves. So Raga Bhakti is a spontaneous attraction when we realize our eternal relationship with Krishna. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his time especially, it was very prevalent that people would be given Siddha Pranali from the very beginning. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say that they didn't teach the person to take bath after evacuating, but they have given him his Manjari Swarup. He already knows. He doesn't know how to behave, but he's already having his Manjari Swarup. So it was the practice. And, if you read, there was no question of any... there was no discussion of any behavior rules and, that you have to avoid illicit sex and these other things. And the scene was pretty wild. It was, if you read... that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a very hard task to re-establish Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and Bhaktisiddhanta ji also had a very hard task, and these people were attacking him physically, trying to kill him because they had a good time. And nowadays they don't have it so easy. Nowadays they already have some standards to compare with, but still you have a lot of these people who are, at the daytime they are very exalted devotee, the night time something else. Yeah. So that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was preaching very strongly, and Srila Prabhupada in his mood, he was also preaching very strongly against cheap
imitation of these things. He wrote a whole book called Prakriti Rasa Shatadushani, 100 defects of mundane rasa. And then there is a lot of, you know, that spontaneous devotion cannot arise until anarthas are removed. And if one thinks that one can have mundane attraction and spiritual attraction, then one is wrong. And if one is teaching a disciple who is not purified from material desires about his eternal rasa relationship with Krishna, then one is wrong. And he's quite strong there. The idea is that, you know, if I haven't purified myself from anarthas, then invariably I will definitely be impelled to, I'll be motivated by pride. You know, I will take it, I will almost, you know, 100% discover that I am definitely a Manjari, because in the Shastra and logically it's the highest, right? And I want to be on the top. And by meditation, without sufficient purity and control of the mind, then material desires will arise. And we see this happening in both the younger devotees and in the very old practitioners who are initiated, you know, not in our line, but outside. That material desires arise and they create havoc in spiritual life. I know this firsthand, secondhand, because I have friends who went over, got reinitiated, and then they saw this with their own eyes. And it's, in fact, happening nowadays also, these things. So at least one has to make one's heart pure of anarthas before one starts cultivating some specific rasa. And that doesn't mean that we avoid topics about Vrindavan or Radha Krishna or Gopis and Krishna. It means that we do not cultivate specifically just these topics. When Prabhupada discovered that there was this Gopi Bhava Club in Los Angeles, and Prabhupada was furious. He said why are they reading only about gopis? He said, what, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are not good enough for them? They are not pure enough for them? So they said, but Prabhupada, you know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita it says that Gopi Bhava is the highest. He says, it means these people don't understand. The highest is, they are all transcendental. All these bhavas are transcendental. And each practitioner thinks that his bhava is the best. And if they are so elevated, then why do they, you know, make bellies to the girls? You know, in this club, you know, these participants of this club, why do they make big bellies to the girls? They make them pregnant. So Prabhupada was quite furious about it. Because these two are not supposed to be combined, you know. If one actually is attracted to the spiritual rasa, one will not be attracted to the mundane rasa, to the material relationships. So this is a hot subject. And sometimes we see, you know, if you stay in Vrindavan, you see this happening. Then you see someone giving classes on a renunciate, giving classes on some very, on Surata Katamrita. Of all the books, this is probably the most erotic book. It's just directly erotic book about erotic pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And this young renunciate, because that's, you know, his guru is teaching like this, so he's giving, every evening he's giving classes to a group of, you know, maybe one or two boys are there, but mostly girls. And he's giving classes from this Rasa Shastra, because it's on Radha Krishna. And, you know, after 2 or 3 years, he's, of course, no longer a renunciate. He's, you know, found, or he was found, because when we are not on a corresponding platform, then it stirs, it's so sweet, it's so sweet, and it's describing the pure the purest, the most attractive interaction of male and feminine principle. So therefore, it will stir attraction. If there is some trace of material attraction, it will make it very strong, and then the person may not be able to continue in his in such a pure position as he was. So there are many warnings about it. Prabhupada gives some very strong warnings. Prabhupada even says that Siddha Pranali is bogus, and that if you hear about pastimes of the gopis and Krishna with material desires, you go to hell. And he's very strong about it. He was. It doesn't mean, also Prabhupada was saying, it doesn't mean we boycott the gopis. We read the whole Bhagavatam. We read the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. Even though Bhaktisiddhantaji, he would forbid some of his disciples to read Antya Lila. He would say, don't read Antya Lila. It's too elevated, too esoteric for you. It can be misunderstood. But we read consecutively. You know, it means when it comes in the book, we read about it. But you don't just study this part. Also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, as you mentioned in the morning, that if somebody studies the 10th canto and then doesn't go on to the 11th canto, he will fall down. Because he will be prone to misunderstanding who Krishna is and how Krishna performs his pastimes. And only the highly philosophical 11th canto with Uddhava Gita and this, you know, very hardcore knowledge sets him straight. And then he can understand properly. So we study, but cultivating some specific mood, that's already a very special prerogative for one who has awakened a spontaneous attachment. And then one of the points is that a Raganuga Bhakta doesn't have to follow the regulative principles. Without following the regulative principles. So what does it mean? I remember I was once researching something on the internet, and I ended up on some website of exactly these official Raganuga Bhaktas from our holiest Radha Kund, and they were discussing one statement that Vaidhi Bhakta follows regulative principles, whereas regulative principles follow Raganuga Bhakta. So Vaidhi Bhakta follows these principles, but these principles follow the Raganuga Bhakta. And they were discussing what does it mean. And it was quite interesting that no one could come up with any explanation of this. If one studied what is Raganuga Bhakti, it's explained in more detail in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami and also in Bhakti Sandarbha by Sri Jiva Goswami. Then you can see that the idea is that for Vaidhi Bhakta, you know, there is a principle, and this Vidhi, and this principle pulls him. Like, you know, in the morning, you are sleeping, and then the alarm clock goes, and you wake up, and usually you smack the alarm clock to switch it off. And then you want to sleep, and it's very difficult, you know, and you are tired. But then, you know, there is this principle, you know, Mangalarati, go to Mangalarati, and, you know, this principle. And I say, okay, you know, and this principle drags, you know, and you get, okay, so you go to washing. And then, you know, it drags you to the Mangalarati. Okay, you know, you go, you know, and samsaradava. But for a Raganuga Bhakta, it's, you know, he goes to bed, and he thinks, oh, it's so sad, I have to waste my time on this sleep. But tomorrow again, I will do Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I will see Radha Shemasundar, I will see Goranitai again. And just a few hours, okay, I have to take some rest. So he takes rest, and then he wakes up in the middle of the night, and he looks, is it time? No, still some time to... And then he may wake 10 minutes before the clock, or, you know, sometimes 1 minute exactly before the alarm clock goes off. You know, sometimes it happens to you, doesn't it? And then and he says, oh, this is the time. Yes, now I will see my, you know, Gorni Thai, my Radha Shema Sundar. He goes, he takes shower, you know, and then he is, oh, he's so inspired. Now I will have the time for chanting and I will see the morning darshan of my deities. And he's going to Mangalarati. And as he's going, you know, he's going, and this principle, Mangalarati, runs behind him and says, this is me, this is me. What he does, that's me, you know. I'm the principle that you know, that he does. So, you know, the principle follows him. In other words, a Raganuga Bhakta will spontaneously be inspired to do what this principle says. And this principle is actually modeled on the behavior of a Raganuga Bhakta. Raganuga Bhakta doesn't need principles because he will do this himself, spontaneously. He cannot wait. You probably would have to chain him to prevent him from doing all these things. He will do this spontaneously, all of these things. And on his behavior, modeled on his behavior, we have these principles. Oh, okay, so you do like this, you go from Mangalarati, you chant, you know, okay, so these are the principles for us. You know. So act like this, maybe you'll become like that. So that's Raganuga Bhakta. He has a spontaneous taste. He cannot wait to be able to again engage in devotional service. That's spontaneity. And of course, he already, Krishna for him is not a generic God. He already is a specific, he has a specific relationship with Krishna. He already knows that he is my lover, or he is my master, or he is my friend, and we play together. So he has a specific knowledge about it. And then, regarding Siddha Pranali, it's mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Prabhupada speaks about this in Nectar of Devotion in a very condemning manner. However, it's described also in Bhaktivinoda Thakura's Jaiva Dharma, and there is one very interesting passage there. It describes there that Mahaprabhu Chaitanya gave two paths. He gave a path of Siddha Pranali, where Guru gives you the 11 characteristics. Your name, you know, that your name is Malati Manjari, and you wear a green sari with silver stars, and your service is to cook milk, you know, and then you serve. You're from this family, this is your group, this is your village, this is your age, this is your service. So 11 things about this sarup. So this process was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vakreshwar Pandit, who gave it to Gopal Guru Goswami, who gave it to his disciple Dhyan Chandra Goswami, and there is a book, Govindarshana Smarana Paddhati, which describes it. And it's a bona fide method. And then he gave another method to Raghunath Das Goswami through the chanting of the holy name. So the person immerses his heart in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the name reveals to the devotee his eternal relationship with Krishna, his Swarup. The name reveals all these things. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes there that the method that was given to Raghunath Das Goswami through the name is more natural, easier, and quicker. Sometimes you think, oh, it would be so nice, you know. And not only think, so many devotees just go. For some reason, it's the most popular among Russians and Swiss devotees. You know? Because Russians are sentimental, and Swiss, they need to have the best. You know, it has to be the best of the best. So, you know, these two groups are probably the most prominent there. So they go, and they try to get this. And they think, you know, you get, and then, you know, just imagine, you have the meditation, you have all the mantras, and you have, you know, the name, and you know who you are. You're a gopi, and you're meditating on it. Yeah? So it seems to be easy. But Bhaktivinoda Thakura says that it's actually more difficult. than having it revealed to you through the name, because it requires a very highly trained capacity or ability for yogic meditation. That's why it's more difficult. In other words, your mind has to be absolutely controlled for this meditation. And then this Siddha Pranali, in fact, admittedly, it's still not really your eternal Swarup. It's basically a template for meditation. Still, it has to be revealed. It still has to be revealed to you. It's very rare that somebody will be actually able to reveal to you your eternal Swarup. That happened to Narottam Das Goswami and some others, you know, in some very special cases. But nowadays they give a generic, also in Dhyanchandra Goswami's book, there is a generic process. How do you select a name? How do you know? What do you give to the sadhaka? And it requires a person who is actually able to meditate, which is a very high requirement. And I have, I have friends who got it, and then the result was not very impressive, not very satisfactory. It's difficult. In fact, it's the most practical way. Vrindakund was given to ISKCON by Madhava Das Babaji, who was initiated in these. They are mostly initiated in these practices. And then, by the end of his life, he said that Bhaktisiddhantaji was correct. He was absolutely correct. There is no other way except the Harinam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And therefore, he gave this Vrindakund, a very special place, to ISKCON to take care of. Because he said, yes, this is the correct way for this age. Who can just meditate in such a fixed manner? And we can read about this meditation also here from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's commentaries. So there are several stages described here. In the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravana Dasha. So hearing. By constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities and pastimes, one can attain to the stage of acceptance called Varana Dasha. So when we accept, I'm a servant, Krishna is my God. So the doubts are dispelled in this. This is near the end of the purport. When one attains that stage, he becomes attached to the hearing and speaking of Krishna Katha also. So he's attached. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of smaranavasta, the stage of remembering. And there are five levels. There is there is dharana, dhyana, so this anusmriti, smaranavasta, remembering. So dharana, dhyana, samadhi, dhruvanusmriti, anusmriti and dhruvanusmriti. So that means that you remember occasionally. first dharana. That means according to smarana. First smarana. So smarana means you just read and remember occasionally. Dharana means you remember according to Yoga Shastra, you remember for 12 seconds. This is dharana. Kurma Purana says that if you remember for 12 seconds, this is dharana. Or fixing the mind on the object of your meditation. If you remember 12 times 12, which is 2 minutes and 24 seconds, 12 times 12, this is dhyana. So after 2 minutes, if for 2 minutes you have nothing in your mind, you say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and your mind has exactly this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You say Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, and your mind has Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Also remembering that this is the name of Krishna, not just the sounds, but this is Krishna. But even if you just focus on the sound, that will be, for 12 seconds, this is dharana. For 2 minutes, this is dhyana. And 12 times that, which is, how many, 22 minutes? Anybody can calculate? Michael. It's like almost half an hour, so it's more or less it's okay, minus 1/5, it's minus 12, 28 minutes. I have 28 minutes. 28 minutes, 28 minutes and 48 seconds. Then this is samadhi. This is samadhi. And then there is, before that, smarana. The previous stage is smarana. So that means you are just remembered Krishna once. And after that is dhruva anusmriti, constant remembrance. Dhruva anusmriti. You remember all the time. You never stop remembering Krishna. This is something we can try to practice when we are chanting. So 12 seconds, this is like 3 or 4 mantras. Can you be fixed on Hare Krishna mantra completely for 3 or 4 mantras? That's dharana. And then you can, and in Yoga Shastra, there are different terms. Like if there is 2 dharanas, it's called opening the eyes. If you are able to do 4 dharanas in the row, 12 seconds, 12 seconds, 12 seconds, you know, without any break, then it's called beginning of joy. And if you do like 7 or 8, it says it's called like coming of bliss. And you know, it's each the further you go, the more blissful you become, because this is the pacification of the mind. So this is something we can practice. Yes.
So this is also my question on the interpretation of Ashtanga.
Yeah, yeah, yes. The only difference is that we meditate on Krishna, and we, or for us it's meditation on the Hare Krishna mantra. And we do not identify as, you know, we don't identify ourselves with the Lord, but we identify ourselves as servants of the Lord. And difference from tantric meditation is that we meditate in Vrindavan, ourselves and Krishna in Vrindavan. How Krishna is in us. So this is from Kurma Purana. This is something you can try to practice. See if you can chant 3-4 mantras with total absorption. Of course, even one mantra is good. Even one name is good. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Our goal and purpose is to become spontaneously attracted to Krishna in some eternal, specific eternal relationship with Krishna. From that point, we are moved by a spontaneous emotion, and we follow an eternal guide. So from there, it flows very naturally. However, to be able to get to that level, we have to become free from anarthas, or the negative habits of our mind. So that entails control of our mind, and that's why we have meditation every morning, and that's why we have the sitting meditation, the jumping and dancing meditation, and the singing meditation, and the most merciful of all meditations, the reading meditation, you know, because the book has you know, hands which catch your mind, you know. If you chant, you know, mind goes very far. But when you read, then even if your mind is very disturbed, the book somehow catches, you know, your mind, and then after 20 minutes, after half hour, and if you are very disturbed, if you continue for half hour, after half hour, your mind finally will become directed towards the Shastra, towards the book. It's a very merciful form of meditation. We practice meditation to direct it towards Krishna. Also, there is even more merciful meditation when we do service for Krishna. Right? When we do something for Krishna. In this very... anyway, you know, Henry Ford, Ambarish Prabhu, grandson of Henry Ford, he told Bhaktivedanta Maharaj that he knows a very easy and effective way to fix one's thoughts on something. He says that as a businessman, he knows a 100% working method for fixing one's thoughts on something. And how does it work? He says that if you invested a lot of money somewhere, then you cannot stop thinking about it. You know, if you bought some stock, then you are always checking, you know, is it how is this stock? Is it going up? Is it going down? How is it moving? Or if you invested in some property or whatever it is, if you invested your time or energy, then you cannot stop but think about this. So in the same way, if we invest our energy, our service, our strength in Krishna's service, then we will think about Krishna. So this is a very merciful way of thinking about Krishna. At the same time, it is meant to make our mind more controlled and so that we can also chant attentively, so that we can listen to our chanting and think about Krishna. So anybody tried different methods for listening the mantra and hearing the mantra? As we discussed yesterday, that the first stage of chanting, we just chant. You know, we just take the japa and chant. And the second stage is we try to listen. This is an active practice. So we try to control our mind. We listen. So we not only chant, because chanting, we can just and then we think about whatever. But listening means we chant Hare Krishna, and we try to listen. What am I chanting? Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. And when we listen attentively, then at one point, we can hear, actually. So we not only listen, it's not just a control of the mind, but actually the name becomes revealed to us. We hear Krishna. So that's the first meeting with Krishna, hearing Krishna. And if you hear the name, then it's an unforgettable experience. This is something you will remember even if it happened 20 years ago or 15 years ago. You never forget it. If you once heard the holy name, it's an unforgettable experience. And we should, of course, direct our heart to hearing. Bhurijan Prabhu was saying that he was a devotee for 3 or 4 years, and then he was in Tokyo, Japan. You remember this, yeah? And then he was chanting in the morning in the temple, walking around, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then all of a sudden, he heard Hare Krishna mantra. And he was shocked. And he thought, then what was I doing before? You know, for these 3 years. So for 3 years I've been chanting and I never heard. And now all of a sudden I've heard the Hare Krishna mantra. For the first time it made him thoughtful. So now they have these beautiful retreats for the japa retreats. Listening. So who tried to practice something for chanting? You tried. So almost all of us tried. So maybe we can break into small groups of 3 or 4. So you are, and then we can present different techniques that are possible to apply to help us improve our chanting. Now, which techniques involving emotions did you discuss? Did you have any techniques involving emotions? Emotions? Emotions. Fühlen. Gefühle. So, can you please share?
Du kannst diesen Vorstellung haben, du gehst in den Garten. Und dann siehst du dein Leben. Ja? Mhm. Und dann plötzlich diese Leben sogar Krishna. Und du bist schon in diesem Gefühl. Und du kommst ihm ganz nah und sagst ihm, hey Krishna.
Okay.
As if
so as if you are coming into a garden and then you see your beloved and then you address your beloved. And you address your beloved. Yes. Yes. Okay, thank you. Something else based on emotions or that involves our emotions? You had something? Yes. So cry for Krishna, being understanding we are unable to do this service. Yeah. In fact, Srila Prabhupada mentions this in prayers of Queen Kunti in the first canto, that we have to learn how to chant helplessly. Niranjana Swami also says that this is what he finds the most effective method to chant helplessly. So when he can enter this helpless mood, this immediately attracts Krishna's attention, and we have complete shelter in him, and only he can help us. Yeah, okay, this is good. Something else based on emotions? Yes.
Based on
fear. Okay.
Because I'm very fearful, maybe that's all. But when I try to think sometimes when I'm very tired and I don't have the power to concentrate, then I just think that I could die at any moment. And when I come into this mood that it's actually true, then I wake up and I'm very
That we can die. Yes. In fact, it's good to die at least for 2 hours, or at least for 1 hour. Because we think about so many things we need to do, but we can tell the mind that just suppose that you died. You know, things would go on anyway. Nothing would happen to the world if I died. Yes. So just imagine that I have died. Right. So at least 1 hour or 2 hours, I'm dead. Okay. So let me just have my japa and. For everything else, I'm dead.
Okay, that's why I'm falling dead now. Okay. Delete the phone.
Yes?
I just remember what I used to do. I used to chant with a piece of paper, and whenever something was coming, because as manager now,
you write it down.
Yeah.
Take it out of the mind, because otherwise, if you have to remember something, that means you have to repeat it in the mind. Any feeling or any thought. Remembrance, it means you have to run it over and over. So it's good to always have some. I always try to carry, some pen and piece of paper. You can just write it down, and then your mind is not burdened by it, and you don't forget it. Although sometimes Krishna can send some. It's actually quite usual that as soon as you try to concentrate, then so many problems. Get their solutions, because your mind becomes a little peaceful, yeah, and then things become clear. And then you suddenly see, oh, that's how you do this, that's how you do that, oh, and that's how you solve that problem. And as soon as you start chanting, start becoming a little peaceful, then boom, 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 so everything becomes clear. You can just jot down, just write some one or two key words. Don't take a big notebook with you. Just Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Just a few words to. Yes?
Yeah, Adam. Mit so einem Zustand, ich habe sehr gut Liebe vor, ja? Es gibt keine solche Dinge auch in meinem. Es gibt, eben, wenn ich liebe, ich habe nichts zu tun.
Yes.
ist.
Yes.
Und wenn nicht mein Geschmack, aber noch eine Barriere, anderen Gewohnheiten gelernt, zu einfach rufen Krishna wie Kinder Mami. Mami, Mami, Krishna, aber das ist irgendwie nicht mein Geschmack. Mami hilft dir und so. Ich bin selber für kann für meine Mutter helfen, ja? Wenn in Realität. Aber das auch für viele Leute, für die Devote, das hilft. So, rufen Krishna.
Prabhupada mentioned that call Krishna as a baby calls for the parents. Yeah, so that's also a good.
Und das auch mit solchen, wenn so viele emotionelle Gefühle drin mantra, dann gibt es nichts mehr so Logik Prozesse, gibt es schon gestoppt wegen Emotionen, dann gibt es nichts solchen.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what methods for using our rational ability? Or our intelligence or willpower, did you discuss? What other methods do you have for using our, you know, willpower? Do you have any? Yes.
Just maybe a day before sleeping, so we can just fix or have the most important part of the day chanting in the morning.
Yes,
so we can prepare the mind. So and prepare.
That
have a good chanting.
Very good. Yeah, it's a very good point that we prepare from the evening. First of all, we go to bed earlier so that we are, you know, in the morning, we are not just, you know, zombie chanting, you know, even in a very tired state, sometimes you can chant amazing japa, amazingly well. You know, it may also work. But the best is to have enough sleep, but also to make a sankalpa or make a decision in the evening. Plan that tomorrow morning I will chant a very concentrated japa, very dedicated japa. And this, you can even write it down. It's very good if you write down some short plan for tomorrow. What you plan to do, assign what is the most important, what is less important, what is urgent but not important, important but not urgent. You know, like the A, B, C, very important, less important, and so forth. And write it down. So then, also during the sleep, your mind sort of prepares, and then in the morning, also the first thing it's already there in the back of your mind that I'm gonna chant, and it's also very very helpful that. If when you wake up, the first thing, you know, like in that joke that it says that there are two kinds of people. One kind of people, they wake up and say, oh my Lord, good morning. And the other kind of people wake up and say, oh good Lord, it's morning. So oftentimes it's us, you know, we wake up and again. it's really okay. So this is the bad programming. Try to, the first thought, see your ideal day and ideal successful behavior and ideal successful functioning from the very first seconds of your waking. It's good if you prepare this in the evening a little bit, you know, but immediately picture the ideal day, the ideal japa, the ideal work. It tunes your whole day and also inspires you to get out of the bed because things don't have to be terrible, and especially for us, since we are devotees. So everything is actually wonderful. All we do is ecstatic. And so prepare from the evening. Then in the morning you can be already focused clearly on what you're doing. Andre?
Sometimes it also helps to chant one round faster.
Okay, one round faster. Okay, yes. Yes.
The japa becomes more like a rolling stone.
Yes. Yeah, because sometimes the thoughts are in the gaps. I remember one devotee, here's one more for the rational. I remember long ago one devotee, he told me that you try count every mantra so that by the end of the round you have 108. So I thought, this is interesting. So I tried. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare, and then mind one. Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Ram, Hare, Ram, 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 Hare, Hare, two. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, 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 Ram, Hare, Ram, 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 Hare, Hare. So I tried that. And when I tried that, so in the beginning, it's, you know, you get 106 or, you know, worse if you get, you know, 86 or if you, or sometimes you get 112 or something, you know, or you lose the count. It means you became distracted. But the funny thing was that when I started counting, and before I was chanting 7.5 minutes, but when I chanted with the counting, then I looked at my watch, it was 5 minutes per round. So all of a sudden, you know, the rounds became 50% faster. It was quite interesting, because it turned out that, you know, it means I focused, and then it cut out all the dross, all the, you know, unnecessary. Similar effect I had with another, more of the rational approach, is when you have Nama Yantra, when you have the Hare Krishna mantra, like some kind of a... Of course, this is not my preferred format. My preferred format is two names in each row. Bhaktisiddhanta, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj has Nama Yantra in his Bhajan Kutir, Hare Krishna mantra. He has four names in a row. But for me personally, I find it works the best if I have two names in each line. And then, you know, just Hare Krishna, Hare, you chant and you see. So this way you engage your eyes and you engage your, and you try to connect. I had the similar effect that the rounds were 5 minutes, five minutes per round, because they were focused.
You follow with your eyes each time?
You see, if I have two names in the line, then the eyes don't have to go. They go just down. Here, that's why I don't like this type, because it goes, you know, left, right, left. But this way you go just straight down. It's a bona fide method. It's a bona fide method.
Yeah. I was also using my mobile to chronometer my rounds.
Yeah, you can check the time. You can keep.
Sometimes it was amazing how long I'm...
Yeah. It's what Satsarup Maharaj always does. He you know, he tries to speed them up, and you know, he measures how long does it chant. Did you have some point, Indrani, Madhuri? Okay, so sattvic lifestyle, everything very scheduled, structured,
yeah.
And then you can be more happy with this. Madhu Priya Prabhu, you had something?
Hare Krishna Prabhu told me, I heard from him that he used a metronome.
Yes. He is a very interesting method.
And then you can have
tempo, has
rhythm.
It? Yeah.
They take tempo for chanting, and then you come into a flow, you know, and then you can make it also faster.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come more into it, and this should be a very nice
mm-hmm.
practice,
yeah.
to see the chanting as a melody.
Mm-hmm.
Or to
yes,
chant.
Yes, he's a musician.
Yes,
yeah. Nayana Manjari Madhuji, and you had some point?
I had some. Oh yeah. Ask something about willpower, no?
Yes.
Sometimes I'm doing like this, I will not take prasadam as long as
mine. Yes, 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 sometimes, yes.
It's
yes.
Also
yes, yes. It's Haridas Thakur's system. Of course, he had 300,000 names that he was chanting. Yes?
But also one good experience, I was an experiment
meditation with closing the eyes, but then
leaving.
Watching this point, so you turn your eyes
between the eyebrows.
It was quiet. I could really nicely hear. So I don't know if this is.
Yeah, it's called Trataka, and it's in itself. It's one of the how is it called? Shiva. It's one of the bandhas, actually. It acts on the prana, and it directs your prana. You know, if you look between the eyebrows, it also affects your prana, and it helps concentration. Yeah, it's one of the exercises for mind control. Yes?
This topic, what is about the breathing? Because I was also making some experiment on the breathing. But, I was, breathing as much as I could, and then chanting the mantra. Chanting so many mantras as possible without breathing, and then also my runs came at 5 minutes. But then I had to breathe again, and I didn't like it. No? So there is some system.
You see, she was so attached to chanting, she didn't like breathing. Yeah, she didn't want to waste time for breathing.
this big breathing is just like.
You know, I have a friend who is a very active businessman. He's several businesses, and he's quite so. I met him some years ago in Vrindavan. He said that I asked him, how is your arthritis? How is your arthritis? How is your rheumatism? You know, all your pains in the knees and the bones. He said, you know, it's gone. And he says, you know how? By chanting. I said, how so? He said, because I chant and breathe. And he described that method. So he says, I sit in the morning, and he says, I can do as many as 10 or 11 mantras on one breath.
What?
10 or 11. Yes. So he can do 10 or 11 mantras. Maybe. And he just inhales. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, and also you can see some devotees, they chant on inhalation also. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Aindra was chanting like that.
Then, because I mean the breath should be kind of balanced, it should be the same number of mantras.
Well, these are different. If exhalation, well, from the point of view of pranayama, if the exhalation is longer than inhalation, it's just the cooling process. It slows down the mind and pacifies you. If you manage not to fall asleep, it will just make you very peaceful. If you're not falling asleep, it doesn't have to be all equal. I mean, there are different kinds of. They are just meant for different. They have different effects. If your inhalation is longer than exhalation, then it excites you, and maybe it can raise the blood pressure also. But when you do it like this, it cools you down. Yeah, it's one of the things that. So he said he because of that breathing, his arthritis went away. But he said, of course, this is nothing. The main thing he says that I enjoy my chanting, because he says for us, for grihasthas, he says this is we die if we don't chant. He says he said you at least you're in the temple, but we are grihasthas. And he has a very frantic business. He has rotating big money. And so he says, if I don't chant in the morning attentively, then I die. So then he was very excited about this. Yeah, so breathing, something connected with the breathing. Of course, I tried to do this for some time. I got inspired by his removal of arthritis. But then after some time, for me, it was mechanical. I couldn't concentrate so much on the on the name. I was more focused on the breathing, and so I didn't continue in that. But he says it helps him to concentrate on the name, actually. So we can see there are actually hundreds of different methods and approaches. Main thing that we should do something every day, and every day we should improve. I remember I was once staying in one devotee's flat, and I went on the balcony to chant my japa. And as I was chanting, I saw some people on the bicycles down underneath, and there was some big pile, some construction was going on, and there was a big pile of concrete slabs, huge, like this table, only this thick, slabs of concrete, cement. Slab. It's a piece, you know, of, like a piece of stone. And these guys on the bicycles, they were doing, you know, they were standing still, they were jumping on top of these slabs, they were going forwards and backwards and sideways, and they were jumping off of these slabs. You know, I couldn't believe my eyes, you know, I was saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then I thought, you know, that just with how many, like 1 or 2 years of training, these people can do these incredible things. And I thought, if I invested such training in my chanting, you know, if I tried to balance my mind in my chanting, like these guys try to balance themselves on the bikes, what would be my chanting now? How would I chant? Right? So if you train, practice makes one perfect. And recently I heard that sometimes people object that perfect practice makes one perfect. And the guy said, even imperfect practice will make one perfect. Because you just, you know, you keep practicing and then you are moving somewhere. So every day we have to, you know, have the ideal and try to move towards our ideal. Because this is the method. That's the Yuga Dharma, chanting and singing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And there are many nice, amazing books. There is Shachinananda Maharaja's, several, many books. There is the Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name. There is Bhajanamrahasya. And there is Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. That's three. And I think there are some more. Then there is Dhanurdhara Maharaja's Japa Meditation. Then there is Burijan Prabhu's Japa. Then there is Bahanidhi Swami's The Art of Chanting. It's already 6 or 7 books with Japa Reforms of Swarup Maharaj, 8 books. So, and these books are packed with tips and things that can help us to do something. But as I mentioned yesterday, the main thing we have to want to to move. So our aim is to, as Rupa Goswami says here, engage our tongue and mind the whole day in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada speaks about the mind, because as we chant, you know, one day it works a little bit and we can chant and be a little focused, but then the next day again we chant and all kinds of ideas pop up. So Prabhupada describes this in the purport. He says, since the mind may be one's enemy or one's friend, one has to train the mind to become his friend. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for training the mind. So this is a training movement. We are training the mind. Did you know it? To be always engaged in Krishna's business. The mind contains hundreds and thousands of impressions. In Sanskrit, they're called samskaras and vasanas. Not only of this life, but also of many, many lives of the past. These impressions sometimes come in contact with one another and produce contradictory pictures. In this way, the mind's function can become dangerous for a conditioned soul. Students of psychology are aware of the mind's various psychological changes. So, one such psychological study is Yoga Sutra, which describes how the mind works and what are these psychological changes. So, as we, so how does it work? When we do something, when we perform a selfish act, in other words, when we do something thinking that I am the controller or I am the enjoyer or I am getting the approval, yes? So, we have some selfish identification with the act, then it creates a samskara, an impression. It becomes imprinted in our subtle body. And then this samskara is stored as vasana. So they are put together, you know, they are stored, archived, but in archive, if you put something in archive, it, you know, like even here, even though these are holy books, they don't actively, you know, attack you. But these vasanas being stored, archived in our mind, they attack us. So sometimes a memory just bubbles up, or sometimes we see something and immediately it connects in our mind. And then we start imagining how we could enjoy. Then it transforms into urge, I want to enjoy. And then the body becomes transformed. In the body, something starts changing. And then we can make a decision, and then again we do some act. Like we may, I don't know, we may have bought some cold drink, and we have, on a hot day, we drink the hot, in the hot sun, we drink some cold drink, and we think, oh, this is so good, I'm so happy, you know, it's so tasty. And then it creates an impression, it's stored, and then I'm walking, and then I see somebody with a, you know, again with a bottle. And then, you know, the memory is stirred, and I imagine, how would it, you know, it's hot, how would it feel if I drank? So kalpana, imagination. And then I feel an urge, and then bodily transformation, my mouth starts watering, you know. You know, the body is transformed. And then I decide I'll do it. I'll go and buy something. Yeah? And we do. So, therefore, it's important to be able to stop here, to cut off this psychological process before we start imagining. Not build the pictures. You know, the memory is stirred, it bubbles up, the samskara, the vasana is stirred, but before you go into imagination, just, you know, redirect your mind. Direct onto something else. Because otherwise it turns into vega that we discussed in the beginning, and it pushes us, and then when the body is transformed, it's very difficult to stop. And decision. So here, if it's a sinful act, in fact, maybe initiation helps you to stop you. You know, because you remember, I've given vows. You know, my Guru Maharaj expects that I will follow my vows. So you can stop, maybe, here. You know, cases are there. You can stop. But for the peace of mind and for purification, it's best not to indulge in the imagination. So the same with the japa. When we chant, when these things come up, don't follow this train of thought, you know, be able to stop timely. And again, one of the yogic exercises is to trace back your steps. And then when you trace back your steps, it trains your mind some, the mind becomes more alert. Did you try it?
I remember it.
Yeah. So when you do this, then also, you can notice what are your first point of departure. And then next, usually, it's, well, you can see for yourself what it is. But usually it's some sensory distraction. Some, you know, some movement, some sound in the belly, or some sensation of itching or something in the body, or some crack of the floor, or some devotee opening the door, some sensory distraction. And then the mind catches that and goes on. So then if you are already alert, then you can be prepared. And as soon as such a distraction arises, you're already, you know, on the you know, on the lookout. So you are defending yourself and focusing on the holy name. Yes? Yes. Well, because here, at this point, decision, it means that there is a big momentum, a big mass of vasanas, imagination, urge, and even bodily, you know, the body starts producing, you know, the juices and all kinds of things to push you. So they all are pushing you. So to stop at this point, it's very difficult. So that's why it's much more intelligent not to lead to that point and stop here. It's much more intelligent not to think that, oh, you know, I am a devotee, I am trained, I already know things. So better don't bring it to here, but stop, cut it off as early as possible. That's the most intelligent. Because there is a lot of mass pushing already at that point. You have something?
Yeah, I was just remembering that part when he was chanting in the roof, I don't know, it's not like no windows.
Yes. And if you were in Gokula, now it's, actually last year it was, this gufa is crushed. But you can see in Vrindavan, the Gosamis, they had a cave in Gokula, Sanatan Goswami had a 20-meter under the ground, a black hole. You go down there, you hear nothing, you see nothing, you can be totally just with the holy name. And he did this 500 years ago. You know, nowadays, you go anywhere, you know, in this beautiful, peaceful place, still you can hear the cars are going, you know. Not to say about you know, some other places.
Quickly, I remember I was just for a few weeks in Rishikesh, and I visited the incredible ashram of the Beatles.
Yeah.
Yeah. They constructed an ashram and now it's abandoned. Uh-huh. But they had made like eggs, like for meditation for one person was this bathroom and little kitchen, and it was specially to meditate. It's closed like this, and uh-huh. it's a little window, uh-huh. and it's like. And also catacombs for meditating, uh-huh. little cells.
Yeah.
For 84 of these eggs they made.
84?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's like very
nice. Yeah. So, what we can do, we can, you know, just find a peaceful corner. And that's why also early morning is so good. Because in early morning, usually that's the time for meditation. Yes, and they will not disturb you. And the atmosphere is ideal for meditation. And besides, the temple, even though occasionally it may happen that someone chants loudly or may distract you, but still there is some synergy. You know, several people trying to meditate, it helps to create a certain momentum. It may help to draw you in. If at least, you know, few people are trying to concentrate, it's helpful for your concentration. Okay, last point. You had something that you wanted to say? Ask? Add? All right. So, let's meditate, or at least try our dharana, yes, or at least smarana, to approach this beautiful lake of Radhakund, to attain the blessing of having our eternal relationship with Krishna revealed in the heart and developing the spontaneous attraction in our eternal relationship with Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. My humble obeisances.